all that kind of language, and other kind of language too in the service. But I was walking down the street between the mess hall and the day room, and to my amazement, and I was broke as I could be, didn't have a nickel, and didn't have any food at home. The wife was in town, and we didn't have anything to eat. To my amazement, I looked down and saw the most beautiful picture I've ever seen in my life, I guess. I saw a billfold. The billfold was lying open, and $20 bills were just hanging out of it. I picked up the billfold, and the first thing I thought of doing was just not telling anybody. But there was something inside of it that made me feel awful and uneasy, and that was that there was an identification card inside that had a fellow's name on it. There were 11 $20 bills in that billfold. $220. That was the first time I'd ever seen that much money, and I've never seen that much since. $220 in the billfold. I rushed home. I tried to lose the identification card on the way home, and there I had the billfold. For 2 days, I went through hell on earth. My conscience said, pay it back. My stomach said, keep it. I went through a time of testing and trial, trying to decide what to do with that billfold. Finally, after numbers of hours of deliberation, I decided I'd do the honest and just and noble thing, and I'd return the billfold. So I went out to camp. I called headquarters and found out the company the fellow was in, whose name was in the billfold. I knew that he'd give me half of the money because I'd found it for him. You know, I knew that I'd get at least half of it. $50 at the least, I knew I'd get that much. And so I called the fellow at his company and I asked if I could speak to so-and-so, and sure enough, he was there in the barracks, and they called him to the headquarters phone. And he came to the phone, and I said, this so-and-so, yes, my name is Jack Hiles. And I said, I found your billfold. He said, sure enough. I said, yes, sir. I'm sure you'll be glad to hear it. I said, it's over here where I am. I'm in the personnel office of the company, parachute maintenance company over here in the 82nd Airborne Division. And so he came over, and I was sitting at the desk there. I was working the personnel office. He walks in, and he said, where's the fellow who has my billfold? I said, I'm the one, you know. I could just feel the crisp green stuff, you know, coming back. And so he looked at me, and he reached out, and he said, okay, I'll take it. He took it. I reached my hand out, you know, and expected to hear a word of gratitude. He walked away. He has not as much as even said thank you since then. I never want to kill anybody as bad in my life. Honestly, as he walked away, I was tempted to do most anything, but he was so much larger than myself, I dared not do a thing. I've never in my life seen anyone so ungrateful. I don't guess $220 meant to him what it means to me. Thanksgiving season. Broke. No, nothing to eat. $220 I found. I gave it back to the dirty bum, and he wouldn't even say thank you for it. Much less give me a $10 bill or a 50 or did they come in 50s? I've never seen anything over a 10. And I understand they do come in larger denominations, but I've never seen anything so ungrateful. The story that I read a while ago is much like the story that I just told. Jesus was coming to a certain village, and as he came into the village, there met him 10 men who were lepers. Now, to understand the story, you must understand leprosy. Leprosy is the most hideous of all the diseases. Leprosy is the ugliest of all the diseases that man can have. When a man has leprosy, his body is completely covered with running boils and sores. The man, in the latter stages, leprosy is so terrible until a man who has it cannot even speak or cannot even touch anyone who does not have leprosy. He was commanded to stand back and say, unclean, unclean. Any time a leper came in contact with anybody else, he had to say, unclean, so the person would know not to touch him and contaminate himself with the leprosy. Now, Jesus met these 10 men who had leprosy, and they prayed the prayer. If you'll notice in verse 13, it says, they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Now, no one has ever prayed that prayer from the heart without Jesus having mercy upon them. Anytime anybody says, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us, and they mean it from the heart, then Jesus immediately has mercy upon them. And so the Bible says that Jesus cleansed these 10 men of their leprosy. Now he said, go show yourself to the priest. Now in the Jewish law, when a person had been cleansed of some disease, they had to receive a health permit or a health card. They would go and show themselves to the priest, and the priest would declare them as being clean or cleansed from leprosy, and then they would come back and have proof that they were cleansed. So Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. Now then, they went and they were cleansed, and one of the men came back, fell on his face, and glorified God, and gave thanks to Jesus, and praised his name because he had been healed from his leprosy. Jesus made the statement. He said, were there not 10 cleansed? Why, he said, only one has returned. And he asked the question, where are the 9? Where are the 9? Now the 9 men received the same thing the other man received. 9 men were healed. 9 men prayed the prayer, have mercy on us. 9 men had received the mercy from the Lord Jesus Christ. 9 men had gotten all the blessings that the other man got, but they did not return to say thank you. I believe that pictures the 20th century in the United States of America. I've never seen any more ungrateful people. There are people in this auditorium this morning who have been cleansed from disease. There are people who have bank accounts down at the Garden State or the First National, and you have a lovely home, and you have plenty of food to eat, you have precious children, and a happy place to live, and yet you have never taken time in your life to pause and give God thanksgiving because God has been so good to you. I ask you the question today, where are the 9? Now I want you to notice several things about the story, if you will. The first thing I want you to notice is this, reasons that this man had to be grateful, or that all 10 of them had to be grateful, but especially this one. Look, if you will, at verse 12. And as Jesus entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Now, I believe there are 10 men there because of a purpose. There are 10 commandments. The commandments cannot save anybody from their sin. And regardless of how many of the commandments you try to keep, or if you could observe all the 10 commandments, you might get to the place in your life you'll never do it. But if you could, well, you could never have any gods before God. If you never did make any graven image, if you always remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, if you never used a curse word, if you never killed anybody, or never committed adultery, or never coveted, or never wore anything that was not yours, or never stole anything, if you could keep all of them, even so, you would still be a leper in the sight of God, and you would need to be cleansed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this man first is not even named. It says Jesus came to a certain village, and there met him 10 men who were lepers. He was not even important enough in the Bible to name. And also, his city was not even important enough to name. In the first place, the thing he had to be grateful for is that Jesus cared for him. A man so insignificant that his name is not even given in the Bible. A man who lived in a town so insignificant that the name of the city is not even given in the Bible. And the man was a leper, an outcast of society. One who could not even go up and down the main streets of the city. One who could not speak or have fellowship with others who were well. He was a leper, and yet Jesus cared for him. Listen, the most marvelous thing this morning about Jesus is that he cares for the least of us, the least among us. I went out to the zoo yesterday with my children. And I saw the lions. It's easy for me to understand how the Lord could know a lion's there. I mean, those big old boogers, they remind him, I imagine often, that they're present. And I can imagine how he could know the leopards were there and the tigers. But we saw some little sparrows up in the trees. Jesus says, not one single little sparrow ever falls from the tree for what God the Father does not realize it and know the sparrow falls. Now, if God realizes the sparrow is falling, I believe God's concerned about me. So I'm grateful today that Jesus cares enough about me, to little insignificant me. I'm thankful that he was willing to know enough about me, to care about me, to heal and cleanse me from my sin. You know, I was born in a little town, Idla, Texas. Haven't you ever been to Idla, Texas? It's a great big metropolis on the way to Waco. Has a population of 1,100 people when I was born. When I left, it was 1,099. No, Mom and Daddy went with me. My sister, too. 1,096. And I think they're all still living there. Nobody ever dies down there because they're all old. I know that down there. Every time I go down, they all slobber all over me and kiss me and say, I rocked you when you was a baby. You know all that stuff, you know. All the fat ladies all slobber on me and say, oh, goochie, goochie, goo. I knew you when you was a little baby, you know. And but anyway, I was born in Texas. I was born in a poor home, didn't have anything, still don't have anything, never have had a whole lot. But aren't you grateful that God does not look upon the outside, but God cares about the smallest, most insignificant little child and the most insignificant person? God cares. Now, if God does care about you, why don't you care about him? If the God of heaven, who never did anything wrong, who is complete perfection incarnate, and it's the God of heaven who is so important that he keeps the whole world on his orbit and keeps the whole universe together. If God could be concerned about little old insignificant you, how dare you live and not be concerned about an almighty God. The second thing he had to be concerned about, or thankful for, was that they saw Jesus. Look at verse 13. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Now, Jesus did not go to every town in Palestine. He could not circle the globe while he was here in 3 years. But Jesus, for some reason, chose to go to this little town. Now, this man could be grateful because Jesus came to his city. Now, this morning, we have something to be grateful for, too. Jesus has come to our city. There are hundreds and millions of people today in the world who have never heard the name Jesus Christ, even in a curse word. There are thousands on top of thousands of people who do not know what it means to be saved. They have never heard the story of salvation. And the reason they haven't is because we've got too many skin flints in our Baptist churches that won't give God what's his and send the gospel. Some of you folks, you say, oh, Lord, thank you for all that's good. And you'll have a Thanksgiving dinner this Thursday at noon. You'll all gather around the table. Probably won't even thank God for the food. And you'll go out and go to the football game in the afternoon. No gratefulness at all. Spit and whittle all afternoon. Stay out of church next Sunday morning. Not come to prayer meeting on Wednesday night. And call that a celebration of Thanksgiving. Listen, dear friend, we're living in America where the gospel is on every street corner, where Bibles are in every bookstore, where the radio programs are full of gospel preaching, and the bookstores are full of gospel sermons. We are living in a country where Jesus has come. We ought to be grateful today. Not a bomb dropping on our shores. Not a single one of our boys today, as far as I know, are fighting in battlefields and dropping dead on battlefields. How grateful we ought to be. And so they were grateful because they saw Jesus. You know, I'm thankful today, honestly and sincerely grateful for those who cared about my soul. I'm grateful for a little gray-haired lady who every Sunday morning came to me as a little junior lad and said, Jack, I'm still praying that God will save you. I'm grateful still for a WMU that had special prayer one day that Jack Hiles might become a Christian. I'm grateful one day for a service that I was sitting in. I was 11 years old, and I did not understand what it was all about, hardly. But the preacher prayed for me. I was standing up on the pew, and the preacher prayed, Lord, save Jackie Boy, in the public service on Sunday morning. Lord, save Jackie Boy. For the first time in my life, I realized my need of salvation. I'm grateful today that Jesus came to see me. I'm thankful that I'm his, that I'm saved from hell. I'm grateful that I have reserved in heaven a home with my name written on it. I'm thankful I have not one single sin charged to my account. I'm thankful that not one single part of my body will ever burn in the fires of hell. I'm grateful that Jesus Christ has separated my sins as far as the east is from the west, as far as the heavens are from the earth, as far as the north is from the south, as far as the deepest sea is. I'm grateful my sins have been forgiven. Jesus has come to my city, and I'm grateful this Thanksgiving season that I'm his child. So he had a reason to be thankful. Then the next reason he had to be thankful for was in verse 14. Look at it. When he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Man, this fellow had lots to be grateful for. He was a leper, and he had been cleansed. He had old running boils on his hands and on his body. He was unclean, and now he was clean. Can you picture somebody with leprosy who had been diseased with corruption and filth and taken old rags and wiped the filth off of their body? Can you picture coming to meet Jesus Christ, and Jesus says, go thy way, be thou cleansed? Can you picture the joy and the exuberance and the thanksgiving on the part of a person who has been cleansed from such a disease as that? Yet, dear friends, you and I, strong bodies, most of us. Now, lots of us don't have pretty bodies, but they're strong bodies. Now, my hair is falling out, but I thank the Lord I got more curl than all hair. My waistline isn't what it used to be, but praise God, isn't what Francis Knowles is. I'm not very good looking, but I'm better looking than Hedy Minton is by a long shot. My physique's sort of like a milk bottle, but thank God it's better than G.P. Wink's physique ever thought about being. But praise God, I don't have TB. Praise God, I don't have a heart attack yet. I'm working on one. Praise the Lord, I don't have cancer as far as I know. As far as I know, my body's in good shape today. All I've got is high blood pressure and ptomaine poison and virus and the flu. That's all I've got. And I praise God today for the physical. You know, we just gripe so much about things we'll be thankful for. I never have seen anybody on a bed affliction. patient that had cancer that griped. I know that, but I've seen lots of folks, I can't stand this old bad cold I've got. It's the world, folks, and you're griping. The next time you gripe about those house payments, I wish you'd just live in a mud hut somewhere for a while, and praise God you had money to make the house payment. The next time you go to griping about the food bill, just go hungry for a while. You had to pay the food bill then. The next time you decide you're going to gripe about the little pay that you have and the little salary you get, why don't you just praise God you've got a job? The next time you go to fussing about the leak in the roof, why don't you praise God that most of it doesn't leak? Next time you fuss about the flat tire, why don't you praise God you got three that are still good? When you go to fussing the next time about your doctor bills, why don't you praise God you've got a doctor to go to? When you fuss about your medicine bill and complain and gripe about the medicine bill, why don't you just pray for the Lord that somebody work day and night so we could have medicine to keep our bodies clean and well? Next time you go to fussing about the clothes, all the clothes that you have to buy, just praise God you've got a body that's alive to buy clothes for. I
heard about a funeral one time. A little baby was in a casket. And the mother came by and said, I'll never have to buy another pair of shoes for the little girl. I'll never have to buy anything else for her. She'll never cost me anything else. But dear friend, I want to keep on buying things for mine, don't you? And I want you to know, I never have seen a generation so ungrateful.
Oh, yeah, we say, yeah, Lord, thank you, Lord, for all you give us and gripe all year long. I know what I'm talking. I hear more griping than I hear anything else. Just gripe this, gripe that, fuss that, complain that, and yet we'll get down the Thanksgiving table and say, hasn't the Lord been good to us, you buzzard Jew? Why don't you be grateful 365 days a year? Yes, the thank you, Heavenly Father, for these and all the blessings. Amen, you peckerwood. All year long, you've been griping. You got that. No, I'm really going to now. You're just making $1.95 an hour, and so you got your stick with a sign on top of it, and walked out in front of that plant for about 4 or 5 days, griping and fussing and complaining, and griping and fussing and complaining, and just acting like a bunch of fools. And some fool fella said, "I don't want to strike." You beat the Lord out of him because he wouldn't do it, and you let the air out of his tires, and you fuss and you complain. Listen, dear friend, there never has been a time in the history of the world when any nation had so much as America has today, and we fuss more than any nation I guess has ever lived. Now, I'm not trying to be funny. I'm trying to be dead serious. Some of us, we wouldn't dare drink a bottle of beer. And yet, we're just as sinful as the biggest drunkard in Dallas County with all of our fussing and complaining all year long. And so, this fellow had physical blessings to the grateful Father. And I want you to see something else in verse 19. And Jesus said unto him, Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. He had salvation, we're thankful for. Anytime you sort of get a little concerned about how hard it is living up here, just think how hard it is down in hell. Dear friend, there's nothing in the world that we ought to be thankful for any more in the Thanksgiving season than the fact that we're God's children. We've been saved. I went to home last Thursday night. There was a young man who was unsaved. I knelt beside him there in the living room, told him how to be saved. He gave his heart to Christ. I believe he'll be here sometime today. Maybe this morning. I do not know. But he'll be here sometime today. Gave his heart to Christ. Stood up and said, Preacher, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. If I died, I'd go to heaven. And if you can say today, I'm saved from hell. I'm on the way to heaven. I'm God's redeemed, blood-bought child. You have the greatest thing to be thankful for of anybody in all the wide, wide world. Well, he had something else. Now I want to say this. He had something we're here for. Jesus was going to Calvary to die for this fellow. In fact, if I understand the Bible, he was on his way then to die for this fellow. Jesus was going to die for him. You know, I wonder sometimes how ungrateful a person can get. Christ died on the cross to save us from our sin. And a person who rejects him is the most ungrateful person I know of in the whole world. Little boy that said something last Sunday or Sunday before last about God being mad today while I was up here preaching. He said, Oh, isn't God mad today? I'll tell you one thing. Listen, God is mad today. God is mad and God is angry. Jesus dying and bleeding and suffering on the cross that you might go to heaven and get out of hell. And yet you say, no, you are the most ungrateful person I know of in the whole wide, wide world. God is angry with you today. You mark my word, He's angry. The greatest thing you'll ever do is realize your need of Him and come and say, Lord Jesus, thank you for your gift. I'll receive you as my Savior. Now, how did this fellow show his gratitude? He had reasons. Now, did he show it? Look at verse 14. And when he saw them, Jesus said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. That's the first thing he did. He was cleansed now from his leprosy. What did the Lord say? He said, go home and just praise me. Just go home and just be happy. No. He said, the first thing I want you to do is go show yourself to the priest. Now, hear me. The priest would look upon him and see that he was cleansed. He would give him a bill of good health to prove that his leprosy had been healed. Now, who are the priests today? The ones that are the pastors of the Catholic churches? Not on your life, friend. The ones who are Episcopalian rectors? Not on your life. Listen, the fellow who's in the Good Shepherd Church this morning with a white collar on and a black vestment, you say, I don't like that. I don't either. That's why I'm preaching against it. With a black vestment on, who calls himself Father, but I'd rather die than call Father, and says he's a priest. Listen, he's the biggest liar in Texas. He's no more a priest than Jim Talley is a priest. He's no more a priest than Jim Talley's little boy is a priest. That little girl who came down the aisle last Wednesday night, the little Baggett girl, and gave her heart to Jesus, 7 years of age. She is just as much a priest today as the Pope in Rome is a priest.
Amen.
Probably more. She's a priest of God. So when you get healed of leprosy, what are you supposed to do? Go and show yourself the priest. But who's the priest? All the believers.
Yes,
so the first thing you're supposed to do when you get saved, dear friend, is come down the aisle and show yourself to all us priests. That's the first thing. And if you've been saved, you will go. The fellow said, I'm too timid. I don't want to go up there and preach. Jesus said, okay, bud, you just get those old sores back again. In fact, they didn't get healed on the way to the priest. They didn't get healed. They said, look at verse 14. Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. They didn't get cleansed until they were willing to go show themselves a priest. And you're not saved, dear friend, until you're willing to show the world you've been saved.
Amen.
This old stuff of saying, I've been saved. Let us come down and kneel on this altar. So, yeah, I've been saved. You talk to them about getting baptized, and they balk like a donkey going on a 20-mile hike, dear friend. I don't believe for 5 seconds you've been born again. God, when He saves you, He doesn't save you until you're willing to go and do something for Him. And so, he said, go show yourself to the priest. The next thing, look at verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. He didn't say, he stood up and said, dearly beloved, I have been cleansed. Praise the Lord. It says, with a loud voice, he said, praise God, I've been healed. He glorified God with a loud voice. And every once in a while, some visitors come to the services here with their little white gloves on and their little dainty way, you know. They say, well, the singing was good and the people were friendly, but the preacher was too loud. Listen, dear friend, it's not the loud preaching, it's the content bothered you. You go out to the fairgrounds, they got a striptease show out there. And they got this fella up there barking off, hey, come on, come on! 25 cents, the greatest show in all the world, straight from Broadway! You say, give me 2 tickets, please. You don't grab because you hollered loud, do you? Huh? You didn't? I didn't know you went, Darvish. Miss Calhoun, are you here? Good. Very interesting. Darvish used to teach Sunday school here at the church. Nobody ever cares about him. You go out there to watch Baylor play SMU. All SMU fans didn't say much. And old Dale Schaffner took off on that 32-yard run. The Baylor fans, they didn't say, listen, teach it down at Baylor too. They teach the preacher, boy, don't, now just be calm. I wonder why the cheerleaders didn't get up and say, now let's give a sevenfold amen to Dale Shopman. He just has run 32 yards. No! They said 15 for Shopner! And this fellow said, bless the Lord, I've been playing. Listen, he didn't have to have any written outline at all. He didn't need any sevenfold amen. He didn't need any doxology. He didn't need any call response. He just, everywhere he went, he said, looky here, I've got a clean body. Praise God. He glorified God with a loud voice. He gave thanks to God and glorified and testified about the grace of God. You know, when folks really get saved, you have to ask them to testify. Bill and I were down in Gregton last Monday and Tuesday night, and on Monday night had some testimonies, and one of our former members, Brother Don Turner, stood up and said, I want you to know that I was a lost sinner, and Brother Hiles came by my house one night and told me about Jesus and said, nobody here loves Brother Hiles any more than I do. He didn't have to be begged to testify because he'd been cleansed. One lady stood up back in the back. I didn't even know her. And said one night I got saved. Bill Harvey was singing, I'm justified. Brother Hiles preached on the subject, the great white throne judgment. I didn't even know about it. She said, I got saved that night. Nobody had asked her to testify. She'd been cleansed, dear friend. And the trouble with you folks that don't believe in praising God with a loud voice, and this little, this loud, hurtful preaching sort of irritates you. The trouble with you, dear friend, you never have known what it is to be genuinely born again and be cleansed. If you ever got cleansed, you would throw aside your robes of dignity and praise God because you're healed. Amen. This fellow here, he was testifying of the grace of God, and he showed it by testifying. And then in verse 16 it says, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. He gave thanks. He said, Lord, thank you. I want to testify to the people first. And he glorified God with a loud voice. Then he said, thank you, Lord. I've been cleansed. I've been healed. I want to praise your name for it, Lord. He gave him thanks. Now listen. Many, many a family this week will sit down in a big turkey, dressing, gravy, hot roll, ooze and butter, cranberry sauce, English peas, iced tea, lemon chiffon pie. Shall we stand with benediction? And you'll get your knife and your fork and put your napkin up around your neck, and you'll dive in like a bunch of little kids at the first day in the swimming hole in the summertime and not even take time to thank God for your food. Listen, dear friend, where are the nine today? Where are the nine? Listen, a one has come to the service. Where are the nine? One thanks God. Where are the nine? One wins souls. Where's the nine? One reads his Bible. Where's the nine? One praises God. Where's the nine? One tells folks about Christ. Where's the nine? I'll leave where the nine are, brother. Listen, I'll leave where they are. They have never yet come to the place that they've been completely cleansed of their sins. Or they'd be praising God. Well, he praised the Lord by giving thanks. Look at verse 17. Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the nine? Where are the nine? Today, as I look out the windows, if I could, of this building, I could see cars driving by, down the shopping center, people trading, stores, Safeway store downtown open in spite of all these wonderful Safeway employees here, service stations open, all kinds of real estate people just going at a booming business today, no thought of God. Oh, yes, praise God for 1,200 who came, but where's the nine? Where's the nine? They're out yonder in sin. They enjoy the same fresh air that we enjoy. Where are the nine? They eat as much food as we eat. Where are the nine? They have the same sunshine shining on them today we have. Where are the nine? They have the same type home, the same kind of cars, the same healthy children. Where are the nine? Listen. Some of the nine are right here this morning. You've never come to a place in your life yet where you had enough praise for God and thanksgiving to God to come and kneel at the foot of the cross and say, Lord Jesus, forgive my sin today. I was thinking this morning as I was fixing to come over. 25 years ago, next Thursday at 12 o'clock. 25 years ago, next Thursday at 12 o'clock, was Thanksgiving Day. We lived in a little two-room shack.
Two rooms, four of us. My sister was a teenager. She wasn't born yet. I better not tell her age. My sister was a teenager in high school. That don't add up, does it, sis? She was about 25, I think, at the time. 25 years ago today, next Thursday. My mother had said, "Earlene, if you can, find a place to eat Thanksgiving dinner. Have some of your children take you over." And so some of the girls invited her over to eat Thanksgiving dinner, and Dad was gone. My mother went to the cupboard and looked to see what we were going to have for Thanksgiving. We had no bread. We had no milk. We had no vegetables. We had no meat. We had not one thing in our cupboard 25 years ago this Thursday, about 11:30, 12 o'clock. We had one Irish potato. One. My mother said, "Son, we're going to have fried potatoes for Thanksgiving dinner." And I said, "Wonderful." And we sat down, my mother and myself, to one fried potato. You'd think that my mother would have said, "Well, I'm just going to curse God. I've got a five-year-old boy here. The other folks are having big dinners today, Thanksgiving Day. Family next door had a great crowd of people and a turkey and dressing and all the trimmings." You'd have thought my mother would have said, "Oh, we'll just curse God and say, 'God, you haven't been good to us,' but what did we do? We just bowed our heads and said, 'Thank you, Lord, for the potato. Thank you for the potato.'" And dear friend, listen, 25 years have passed. My wife has a roast at home waiting for us. When we get home, I start for a lift. We have a nice home. It's warm, comfortable. Have a nice place to live. We have a good salary. God's been good to us. We have a car that's very acceptable thanks to our people here. We have friends and loved ones, and we have two fine, healthy children. How in the world could I help but be thankful to God in the Thanksgiving season? Today, if I were not a child of God, if I were unsaved, I'd have to be like the one who went back to Jesus and with a loud voice glorifying God. I'd have to give thanks to Him. I'd have to kneel at the foot of the cross and say, "Lord Jesus, I want to be thankful today. I want to give my heart to You." If I were a Christian and I were not serving God, I'd come today in the Thanksgiving season and say, "Lord God, because of Your goodness and Your blessing and Your wonderful miracles in my life, Lord, I want to move a letter to a church. I want to serve. I want to come back to Jesus. I want to be faithful in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ." Where are the nine?